Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you as we continue our series here at Mosaic, Finding Life in the Desert. You have a leaflet in your bulletin that you received as you entered the auditorium. And there you will find a reading. It's a description of the temptations that Jesus had in the desert. And we're going to today try and learn some lessons from the experience that Jesus had. So I'm going to read this. You may want to keep this out because there are one or two other passages that I'd like to give you today. Let me read from Matthew chapter 4, and I read from verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. We thank God so much today for this reading that comes to us in the words of the gospel. Amen. I may have mentioned, I don't know what I've said to you and what I haven't said to you, but I may have mentioned sometime that at the age of about 14, 15 years of age, I had to change schools. I went from a rather Larny school in Port Elizabeth to a school that wasn't so Larny. And I'm not going to tell you why today I had to change schools. But the one interesting thing about the school that I went to for my last 3 years in high school, the one distinguishing characteristic about it was that as you went up in the different standards, there were less and less and less pupils. So in grade 8, there were about 200 pupils. In grade 9, about 100. In grade 10, there must have been about 50. In grade 11, about 25. And when you came to grade 12, there were about 10 of us. Which was lacquer because all of us became prefects. All of us. They only had 10. All of us got our colours for first team rugby. All of us. All of us played first team cricket. All of us were in the swimming team, whether you could swim or not. And when the school production came around, once a year we had a school dramatic production. All of us had to go on stage. And so in grade 12, whether I liked it or not, I found myself acting for the first time in my life. And I can still remember that on the night just before we were going to do our first public production, I had a dream. And I can still remember the dream. And I guess it's the typical anxiety dream of anyone who acts. And the dream went like this. I was on the stage, the curtains opened, and I didn't know my lines. over the years, that dream has become something of a parable in my life. Would you agree that at this moment, we are standing on the stage. The curtains have opened on our life. This is our moment. This is our moment. This is our moment on the stage of human history. This is our moment of opportunity. This is our moment of responsibility. This is our moment for effectiveness. This is our moment. We are not going to have another moment. This is our one life. And I guess the question is, are we going to be able to live our lines well? Are we going to be able to speak the lines that we need to speak while we're on the stage? And it's against this backdrop this morning that I want us to go into the desert with Jesus. Now you will know, I'm sure you know this, Jesus, about 30 years of his life, we don't know too much about those years. And then around his 30th year, he went, you remember, he was baptized in the River Jordan. And then immediately after that, he went into the desert, and then the curtains opened for Jesus, and he found himself on the stage. It was the beginning of his public ministry. But before he goes onto the stage of his public ministry, there are three life-defining decisions that Jesus makes in the desert. Three decisions. And they are life-defining. They shape the rest of his life. And what I want us to do this morning, we don't have a long time, but what I want us to do this morning is I want us to look at those defining decisions that Jesus made, and I want to draw out some wilderness lessons for our lives while we are on the stage. Did you listen to the song that was sung today? How do we live a life with no more wasted days? With no more wasted days. And I want to suggest, friends, that if this morning we will listen to Jesus, and if we will meditate on those decisions that he made, there will be some incredible lessons for us, for our moment, for our one life on the stage of human history, so that we can live our lives with no more wasted days. Are you ready? The first decision, the first lesson, we're on the stage. Let us always remember, that we are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings. Always remember that. Just look again at that first temptation that Jesus experienced. Look at it very carefully. The evil one comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered. Now look at his answer carefully. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now look at that very carefully. Please notice what Jesus is not saying. Notice what he's not saying. Jesus is not saying that bread is not important. Jesus is not saying that. You and I go to work every day. We work hard. Why? Often because we want to put bread on the table. That's an important thing to do. Bread is important. Whether our neighbor has bread is also a deep spiritual issue. Bread is an important ingredient for human life. Very. When Jesus was going to be crucified the night before, what did he do? He took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body given for you." Bread is important. What Jesus wants us to learn today is that we don't live on bread alone. We don't live on bread alone because we are more than our bodies. We are more than our brains. We are more than our DNA. We are spiritual beings. The deepest part of our life, of our nature, is spiritual. We have wills that decide and choose and discern. That's part of our spiritual nature. We have minds that can remember and imagine and dream and think. That is part of our spiritual nature. We have hearts that long and desire and yearn. That is our part of our spiritual nature. We have spirits and souls that long for connection with God. That is part of our spiritual nature. We are spiritual beings. I want us to know that about ourselves today. We are more than our bodies. I have a friend and he's been a mentor in my life for many years. And he shapes what I teach and what I say very deeply. And his name is Dallas Willard. And I often quote him because he's my mentor. He has a sentence and I want you to look at it. I am an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. That's who we are. I wish we could memorize that. I wish we could write that down on a piece of paper and stick it on the bathroom mirror, that the first thing we see, I am a spiritual being. I have an eternal destiny in God's great world. And every day there are currents in our society that want us to forget that. The other day I came across a study, I think it was in Time magazine, I do forget my source, and it was about a new kind of chimpanzees that we've discovered that has 99.4% of the same DNA that you and I have. Now, what is the conclusion that researcher wants us to draw? He wants us to draw the conclusion that we are very much like the chimp. We are far more. We are far more. We are far more than our DNA. We are spiritual beings. Unceasing spiritual beings with an eternal destiny in God's great world. And the one important conclusion that we must make is that we are made for God. That our lives are designed for divine connection. That if our lives are going to thrive, we need to be connected to God who is Spirit. And the only way I know in which that connection can happen is as we follow Jesus Christ. That as we follow Him, He is the way, the truth, and the life. He leads us into the deepest intimacy with the living God. And we come alive as spiritual beings. That's the decision Jesus made. He had bread that this world could not offer. Do you? Do I? But there was another decision that he made. He made a decision that he would consciously keep God before him all the time. All the time. That God would be the single focus of his life. That he would keep God in his consciousness throughout. Just look at this. Again, that temptation that the evil one comes. Again, the devil takes him to a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and then, all this I will give you if you will just bow down and worship me. Now look at Jesus' response. Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve God only. Only, only. He made a decision to keep God before him, to worship God, to serve God only, only. And I want to suggest that if we're going to live our lives well while we're on the stage of human history, we'll keep a great God before us all the time, all the time. A big God. Now, sometimes our God becomes so small. Friends, God is big. God is bigger than our mistakes. God is bigger than our failures. God is bigger than our sin. God is bigger than our confusion. God is bigger than our suffering. God is bigger than our tragedy. God is bigger than death. And when I live with a constant awareness of this God in my own consciousness, I begin to live with greater effectiveness and responsibility and life. And we can train ourselves to do this. Our mothers and our fathers in the faith, they teach us how to do this. They say, take a sentence of Scripture, just one sentence of Scripture that you love. Take it with you every day into your life. Let that one sentence become a point of connection between you and God. Let that sentence become part of your living and your breathing and your work. Let it always be with you. I have a sentence. I have a very simple sentence. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. That's my sentence. And sometimes during the day I will say it 5 times, sometimes 10 times, sometimes 100 times, and sometimes in my most stressful days, thousands of times. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy. And in that moment, it brings back to me an awareness, a consciousness of the living God in my mind. Just look at these verses. Make a note of them if you're making notes. From Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Huh? Look at this verse. One of my favorites. Psalm 16 verse 8. I will set the Lord before me. I will set the Lord before me. I will keep a big God before me. And because God is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. That's what happens when we begin to live with a deep consciousness of the living God in our daily lives. That was the decision Jesus made, and that's the lesson we need to learn. But there's one more. That when we're on the stage of human history, when we have our moment, Jesus wants us to know always that God's way of love is the way of sacrificial servanthood. Sacrificial servanthood. Look at that temptation that Jesus was faced with. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. That will get people's attention. Be sensational. Be spectacular. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. Now notice what Jesus says. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus knows that God's heart is the way, that God's love is the way of sacrificial servanthood. And Jesus is making a decision in the desert that his whole life, he will not be deflected from it. He will not go for the spectacular. He will not go for the sensational. He will go the way of sacrificial servanthood, even if it goes to the cross. And he says to the devil, don't test God on that one. I know God's heart. I know God's heart. I think it was 1961. Who was the president? John F. Kennedy. The youngest president, I think you may correct me on that, in USA history. And he made his inaugural speech. And there was a sentence in that speech that touched a generation in their 20s. And it touched a generation because it touched the spiritual part of their lives. It was one sentence. He said to those listening to him, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And he was speaking there, I think, about an invitation to pour out your life like God does in sacrificial servanthood. Ask not what your marriage can do for you. Ask what you can do for your marriage. Ask not what your job can do for you. What can you do for your job? Ask not what your friendships can do for you. What can you do for your friendships? Ask not what your church can do for you. What can you do for your church? You see, Jesus' way is upside down. If you want to save your life, he says, give it away. If you want to lose your life, try and keep it. If you want God to lift you up, go down. That's his way. Don't push and shove and climb. Let God advance you. Give your whole life to the way of sacrificial servanthood, wherever you are. And then we are in sync with God's heart and the heart of this universe. And some deep things happen when we go that way. We begin to experience God working in our lives. A quick story and I'll stop. I was doing a conference. I'm not going to tell you where. And after the conference, I just finished my last talk and I had to be rushed to the airport just to get home. And as I finished, I looked for the little red light on my BlackBerry. Any messages from home? And there was a little message that said, that Pebbles, our little dog, 18 years of age, had died. And I knew that Debbie and the kids would be beside themselves. I knew that. This dog has grown up with our kids. This dog is, how do I put this, is more important to Debbie than me. I think I told you one night I was fast asleep. Did I tell you this? At about 1 o'clock in the morning, I felt this hand across my forehead, just stroking me. And I thought, Debbie, you are such a loving woman. 1 o'clock in the morning and you are stroking me with love. So I woke up and I reached out for her and she said, "Oh, Trevor, I'm sorry. I thought you were pebbles." So pebbles is important. And pebbles died. And I just got caught up in sadness. I wanted to be with, "No, I know it's just a pet, but you know what pets are like. They become part of your history and your life. They're God's friends in our lives." And I was just beside myself. I was just sad. I wanted to cry. But anyway, I had to get in the car with this person taking me to the airport. And a little whisper, and I think it was God, I don't know. "Trevor, be attentive now, not to your own sadness, but to this person who's taking you to the airport." And so I consciously, and it was hard, I struggled to be present to this person. I asked one or two questions. And as the airport came into view, this person turned to me and said, "Trevor, can I say something to you that I have never shared with another human being in my life?" And this person shared an incident from this person's life 24 years ago. And there was a moment of deep prayer outside the airport. And I just thought, "God, you're incredible. That when we just put ourselves out in a little way, just in a little way to serve someone, you work incredibly. This is your way." So let me end. We're on the stage. Okay? This is our one life. The curtains are open. And there are some lessons that Jesus alone teaches us. We're not going to learn this at university. Important as university is, your MBA is not going to teach you this. The magazines you read each day are not going to teach you this. They're not going to teach you this. Jesus meets us on the stage of human history. And he shares with us three life-shaping lessons. We are spiritual beings. Keep God before us. A big God. A big God. Keep God before us. And then give our lives away. Just give them away. In sacrificial servanthood. And we will discover that our time on the stage, nothing will ever be wasted. Let's pray together. Oh God, we talk about deep things here on a Sunday. May your Spirit come to us today as it came to Jesus, your Son. Lead us into our own deserts where we make critical decisions that shape our lives forever. Guide us, Spirit of God, in these decisions that we need to make today. This is our prayer. We offer it to you in the name of Jesus and for his sake. And we say together, as God's people, Amen. Amen. Friends, may the joy of Jesus be with you. Take care. God bless you, friends. Amen.